The Professional Services Council's 80-page reform wish list comes at a time when both the executive and legislative branches are gearing up for another round of changes to the acquisition system and asking for outside input. And while the leaders of some of those reviews have hinted at narrowly focused changes around the margins rather than a major overhaul, PSC's approach tackles everything from the acquisition workforce to policy changes at every phase of the acquisition lifecycle to a reform of award protests. Stan Soloway is PSC's president.
I think the bottom line in our view is that the time for incremental or tactical change is long past, that the only way we're actually going to make a meaningful impact is to take very, very significant, sustained long-term action.
But out of the 42 recommendations that came out of the review process that 90 of PSC's member companies helped lead, only 8 would require action by Congress. That's partially by design, officials say, because of the difficulty of getting anything through Congress at the moment, but also because the organization views many of the current problems as management issues and not legislative ones. One overarching theme in the report is that the acquisition system needs to transform itself into one that's focused on outcomes and not necessarily the bureaucratic processes that deliver them. For example, it recommends that the government start using statements of objectives as the default solicitation method when it asks industry for anything, rather than the current statements of work that dominate the procurement landscape today.
Statement of objective it talks about what you need to achieve. A statement of work tells you what to do. So the idea here is when you use a statement of objective, it gives folks who are bidding or proposing on a given RFP the ability to come in and say, this is how I would approach that problem. And it really opens up a performance-based or capability-based approach as opposed to the government specifying in advance how they think the problem needs to be solved. So it opens up the universe to different kinds of ideas, alternative thinking, innovation. In terms of measuring performance, you measure just like anything else. I say I'm going to achieve X. Either I achieve it or I don't. I may have separate measures of performance that I want you to think about that might be more relevant that you haven't thought about. But at the end of the day, in the contract vehicle, we're going to establish what those performance expectations are. This is not the Wild West. It's really opening the aperture of thinking and saying, all right, come give me your best ideas on how you would approach this.
That recommendation and a few others are aimed at giving commercial industry the ability to offer program managers solutions that they might not have known existed. The report also asks agencies to allow companies to respond to requests for proposals in a way that doesn't exactly follow the RFP strictures, but gets the job done anyway, perhaps in a better way than the officials on the government side imagined was possible. It also suggests the use of a new innovation template for every RFP, in which firms could point out specific innovations they could bring to the table, but that the government didn't know to ask for, and how much each one of those innovations would cost. Dave Wettergren is a former DOD Assistant Deputy Chief Management Officer and now PSC's Senior Vice President for Technology Policy.
This idea about giving industry the opportunity to help give you a better answer scratches so many itches that I see existing today in industry, where an industry partner will see an RFP and go, well, holy cow, they've already boxed me in on the answer, and I have a better answer, but I'm afraid to offer that answer because it might somehow work against me in the evaluation process. So yes, there are a number of opportunities that I think already exist that you could grow from to see that the performance-based contracting does work in the IT space and allows you to bring together more ideas and more sharing of risk between the government and industry rather than, you know, just try to, you know, we think we know the answer, we'll throw it over the transom and hope we get something back.
The report's authors also said they were placing a premium on letting the government buy technology and services, something they argue are now one and the same, much more quickly. In the report's terms, speed to outcomes. Again, Stan Soloway.
Speed to outcome is actually the critical metric for measuring success. And it's something that kind of guided a lot of our discussions. That's not speed to market. It's not speed to contract. It's speed to an actual outcome, the ability to actually generate an outcome, because at the end of the day, it's the outcome that actually matters. And it's a metric that we typically don't look at very much in government.
One way to deliver more speed is to create an acquisition system that looks much more like the marketplace in which commercial companies buy IT and services, says Neil Albert, the vice chairman of the consulting firm NCR, and who helped lead the drafting of PSC's report. He says the current approach to competition means anyone who can meet Uncle Sam's boutique requirements is almost guaranteed to win a contract, especially for IDIQ contracts. And on the other hand, commercial innovators who don't specialize in government work might not even submit a bid.
The perception is that government certifications, such as ISO 9000, CMMI, and FedRAMP, can determine the contractor's ability to meet the challenges in today's environment. Just because you have these certifications does not ensure you have the right solution or can manage the process to meet program missions or goals. The fact is that the government may be eliminating companies which have the skills to perform, but because they don't have these mandated certifications, are unable to enter the market. The same is true for commercial service organizations, such as those who are out from outside the traditional DoD marketplace. As you know, the cost of entering into and staying in this complex federal procurement environment is high, and commercial companies just don't want to incur those business costs, even though their solution may be the right one.
To add a bit more speed and agility to the process, the report also recommends some changes to the bid protest process, with the stated goal of making those protests less frequent. For example, PSC says agencies should have to offer in-person debriefings to explain to companies why they lost a bid. That proposal is based on the premise that a significant number of protests get filed in the first place because companies don't have any clue why they lost a competition, and they're hoping to get lucky by asking GAO to intervene. But Soloway thinks virtually all the recommendations his group made are intrinsically linked to one category of reforms he says are needed, a reform of the way the government develops its acquisition workforce. And that's one of the few areas of the report that would require congressional attention. The report calls for the Office of Federal Procurement Policy to be beefed up into an organization that's in charge of the entire acquisition lifecycle across government and not just procurement. The new organization would be in charge of both reforming acquisition policies and overhauling the acquisition training process so that government officials are ready to use it over the long haul.
We have a human capital crisis. If you just look at the demography, either a very young workforce being asked to do really, really complex work that they're not ready for, or an aging workforce and not being supplanted by a new entries coming into the market, into the workforce. And so there are a number of recommendations in here, again, some building off recommendations we made last fall, to really fundamentally rethink the workforce challenge. And I will say this is a personal opinion. I want to suggest this is the opinion of the committee. I think that may be the single most important recommendation in the whole report, is to fundamentally rethink the workforce. Because if we do that, other things can then follow that otherwise cannot happen. As we saw in the last 20 years, ideas got out there, the training and development of the workforce didn't keep pace. Things collapsed, we regressed. So I'd focus a lot on those workforce recommendations.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.